ADP Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. In just a few minutes, SpaceX's Crew 9 mission is set to launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida. It's going to eventually bring home NASA astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore from the International Space Station. They've been there for more than 100 days longer than planned after problems with their Boeing Starliner. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez explains how NASA worked this out.
This is one of the most dramatic changes to a mission that NASA has made in years. Typically, the SpaceX Crew Dragon launches four passengers into space at a time, but this time around, it will only take two. NASA astronaut Nick Hague and a Russian cosmonaut.
Turning now to weather as flooding worries increase in the wake of deadly Hurricane Helene. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
We're dealing with flash flooding, and believe it or not, mudslides and avalanches up in the northern part of our state.
In that state's Washington County, Sheriff Joel Cochran went to a house with a tree on it and discovered two kids had been killed.
You know, when you know the people that's involved, it kind of tugs on your heart a lot harder.
WVLT-TV anchor Jarrett Austin in Tennessee says the flooding there is threatening a dam with collapse.
The Greenville Police Department now asking some businesses to shut down and people to conserve water there. On Facebook, they posted, quote, "This means businesses like restaurants and non-essential jobs need to shut down. The water pumps at the river are destroyed." They go on to say the city is going to run out of water for a short time.
In the Middle East, tensions are on the rise after an Israeli airstrike kills the leader of Hezbollah. President Biden just issued a statement calling Hassan Nasrallah's death a measure of justice for his many victims in Tehran. Demonstrators are calling for revenge for his death. This is the head of the United Nations calls for the violence in Lebanon to stop now. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Everyone here is nervous. There's a sense of dread that perhaps we're headed for an even broader war than before, and that places like Tel Aviv and Haifa, which have really been outside the rocket fire, could be attacked.
The white former Dallas police officer convicted of murdering a black man in his apartment 6 years ago is eligible for parole on Monday. That would have been Botham Jean's 33rd birthday. His mother says Amber Geiger ought to remain where she is. Allison John says Geiger called her family tremendous hurt and pain. Allison John says the former officer murdered an innocent man in the comfort of his own home doing nothing wrong. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A small group of people in Wisconsin is doing its part to keep Native American languages from going silent. Mike Moan introduces us to the Indigenous Language Table.
Laura Red Eagle, a writer and member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, grew up in rural Wisconsin and says she was somewhat disconnected from her tribal roots. Eventually, she embarked on a learning journey that reconnected her with her ancestors' traditional words and phrases. Her perseverance led to the Indigenous Language Table at the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery in Madison. It's a communal gathering that meets once a week, emphasizing the importance of using the language in everyday conversations.
It takes a veil away. You can kind of see how people think, how you view the world. You can ask questions, and you don't feel stupid for doing that because anybody that's showing up for a language class is already super brave.
She feels the most successful revitalization efforts involve multiple participants as opposed to practicing the language alone. Red Eagle says what makes the Indigenous Language Table great is that it doesn't lend itself to an exhausting learning experience.
If they can speak one or two words or at least, you know, get their introduction done or hear some more, then it's worth it. And I don't know, they feel revitalized themselves in doing it.
The weekly events hosted by Red Eagle are attended by natives and non-natives. She says her efforts offer a blueprint for creating vibrant language communities around Wisconsin and beyond. The United Nations warns that more than half of the world's languages will become extinct by the year 2100, a direct consequence of colonialism. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Robert Bordeaux for Arts Midwest.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the mid-80s. Clear tonight, lows around 50. Sunshine, 79 for Sunday. For Sunday night, some fog and 52. Monday, sunshine and a high around 81. For Tuesday, sunshine and much cooler with highs in the low 60s. Currently, 78 degrees.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Hey there, political orphans, swing voters, independents, that whole gang. Welcome to special edition of Lost in the Middle. We're going to do a countdown between the middle of September and work our way up till Election Day. And we've sort of switched out the format. This won't be storytelling the way we do things. But instead, what I'm doing is talking to some of the smartest political podcast hosts in the country. But before we go there, I want to tell you a quick story. When I left Congress, it was sort of running up to the 2000 election. And I got a call from a good friend of mine named Brady Williamson. And Brady said, I've got an idea for you. What's that? He said, let's try to get a political debate in Madison because it would be interesting in the 2000 election. And Brady had worked for the Clintons for years and was a Democratic operative. And I said, let's rock and roll. So we reached out to what was then called the Political Debate Commission, which everybody thought was an official arm of the federal government. But instead, it was just a cozy room between a longstanding Republican and a longstanding Democratic operative who figured out a way to make money on this. And the deal was you had to raise $500,000 because the presidential debate is a television operation. And so the first thing we had to do was raise, I don't know, I think it was $200,000 to show that we were serious, which actually was much easier than we thought it would be. We had a couple of large Madison businesses step forward and then some foundations locally. And then we're ready to rock and roll. And then out come the folks who actually scout the presidential debate. And so we wandered around Madison looking for venues. And so the whole Madison community was geeked about the idea. And then they wanted to show off the new Madison Civic Center, which had been designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And they walked in the room, and we probably spent maybe 3.5 minutes in it, because if you've ever seen anything designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, it may be brilliant, but it's weird. And every section we looked, there was a column or a weird thing. Walked out of that. Then went to the old Oscar Mayer Theater. Yes, Madison was the home of Oscar Mayer Wieners and the Wienermobile. And they liked that a lot, but it was a really cool old building and would have great angles to look down on the audience and looked very ornate and very rich. And then it turned out by the time they built out the stage downstairs, there'd be no time for sitting. So that went out the window. And so we ended up with the Madison Expo Center, which was just basically a big box. So it was a weird year because the Olympics were that fall and the World Series was really late. And so they decided at the end of the day, they're going to have to do all of the four debates, three presidential and one vice presidential, in a very compressed time frame. So we're sitting around like the NFL draft waiting for the phone to ring. And they pick up the phone and say, Brady, Scott, we've got some great news for you. Okay, we want you to host the vice presidential debate. It's like, who the hell watches the vice presidential debate, much less trying to raise $500,000 to stage it? And as we're looking through sort of depressed glasses at one another, they say, here's the date. And they pick a weekend in October in a great Wisconsin story that's not a punchline. It was the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. We were off the hook. You could not find a hotel room because people with trailers and pickup trucks were driving their prize Holsteins to Dane County, Wisconsin to show them off. So our prize for doing that was actually we got tickets to go to the presidential debate in Boston. Al Gore and George Bush. The highlight of the night for me personally was that Christy Brinkley sat in front of me with purple sort of eggplant colored leather pants. And
let's just say it was not a particularly good look. But the defining moment of the debate was Al Gore doing this every time George Bush started to answer a question. And it's literally graded by historians as one of the 10 worst debate moments in U.S. presidential history. So we never ended up with the debate here, but we just all watched the debate. And I want to turn around to my guest, Andrew Heaton, who's actually calling us in from Scotland, from a phone booth in a men's businessman's club, I take it is, Andrew?
I'm at the Royal Scots Club, which is just a nice, stuffy club that has allowed me to become a member. I like to work out of here, and being a humble boy from Oklahoma, I find it endlessly funny to talk to old British men in three-piece suits. So I come to Scotland to avoid the Texan weather for about a month a year, and then I work out of here.
Well, you can tell by the early introduction. So Andrew actually hosts a podcast much aligned with us called The Political Orphanage. So that means my political orphans actually live in his political orphanage when they turn into his podcast, which is terrific. Mm-hmm. He's been a stand-up comedian. He's performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. He's written a bunch of books, including one that's called Laughter is Better Than Communism. And he actually opened up for William Shatner, who said, wow, that Andrew guy, he's pretty funny. But the cool thing is, and most people won't know this, and I actually know this because my youngest son spent some time in comedy, is you performed with Upright Citizens Brigade in L.A., which is sort of the West Coast version of Second City, who don't know it. So,
yeah, it was New York, but yes, the UCB, it had outposts on both coasts, and I got improvisational training from the good people at UCB. I have a certificate saying I'm funny. I have it on my wall. UCB is a fish. I'm licensed to be funny by UCB.
That's terrific. And then worked on the Hill for Tim Holden, who's an old buddy of mine, who was a Democrat from Pittsburgh. We used to play in the congressional baseball game together. And Tim actually had one of the worst moments I've ever seen because he and Bill Jefferson, another Democrat from Louisiana, who later on got sentenced to prison for racketeering, but that's an entirely different story. Tim was at first base. Bill was at catcher. Somebody popped up in the middle of the first base and home plate, and they collided head on. And Steve Largent was playing with us, former NFL football player, who said that was the ugliest collision I've ever seen, worse than anything I'd ever seen in the NFL. And they both, Tim got gashes, Jefferson got teeth knocked out, everything in the world. So now that I've completely wasted everybody's time for 8 or 9 minutes with a story that went nowhere, let's talk about your impressions of the debate. Does it really matter? Did it really change anybody's mind?
Yes, I think they do. So I was very skeptical of the debates up until about 3 months ago. I'm one of these people that is angry at the Presidential Commission on Debates, because it seemed to me that they were intentionally icing out any third party candidates that would come in, and I was ruffled about that. I was angry that Gary Johnson had approached whatever metric they needed, and then they immediately put it up to 10% in order to ice him out, and was taking the rather cynical view of like, look, everyone in America has made up their mind about Biden and Trump. This is before Biden dropped out. No one needs any additional information. It's not as if Trump is some sort of coy, opaque figure that we don't know a lot about. And I have changed my tune on that completely. I watched the debate between Biden and Trump, and I had been likewise kind of skeptical about the whole Biden mental acuity thing, because that sounded to me like kind of a made up Republican talking point. And then I, like much of the rest of the country, watched the president's brains drain out of his ears like motor oil and went, this the apparently they were right about this. We have been gaslit, America. So I thought that the debate did a really good public service at that point. The most recent, so for that reason, I think the debates are good, just because they do they do allow you to see if somebody's truly crazy or not. I don't think that they're particularly salient for policy discussions, and the latest debate was not salient for policy discussions, but I think that they could be useful in that regard. In terms of pushing people to vote in a particular direction, yes. My understanding is that last-minute voters tend to be disproportionately affected by the personalities they see on display at the debates and by bombardments of advertising that get them the last couple of weeks. So for most people that are plugged into politics, and I would imagine that that's the bulk of your audience, they probably have their own internal compass that they're using and some kind of metric they're using to make decisions in terms of who they're going to vote for that involves ideology and policy goals and character or something to that effect, right? I think there is a group of people, and they're ultimately who's going to determine this election, which are not nearly that attuned to politics. And so for them, they're running a lot of this off of gut feelings and vibes. And in that capacity, I think it's going to really benefit Kamala Harris, because my personal suspicion is I'm telling all the Scots while I'm here, I'm putting it 60-40 on Kamala Trump. I think she's going to take it. It's going to be razor thin, but I think that she's probably going to take it. And my rationale for this is that I think the last minute voters that are not reliably Republican or Democrat are going to basically go, I don't know, I associate Trump with old screamy guys. I don't like that. Let's give this new lady a try. She seems sane. And Kamala did a good job of appearing sane and reasonably normal for the course of the debate. And so I think that that vibe will work to her advantage.
So who's left that hasn't made up their mind?
I think it is the swing, like the truly swing voters, right? So like I'm an independent, and I'm a big critic of the two-party system, and I will kind of join people in breathlessly talking about how wonderful it is that independents are gaining traction and they're now the largest voting bloc. They're larger than Republicans or Democrats. But when you really look at it, the majority of independents, probably about 80%, are reliably Republican or Democratic voters, but they just really don't like the party. And so it's almost like a protest that they're registering as an independent, but they're going to vote Republican or Democrat. That leaves about 20%. And half of those people, I think, are like me, where we are very plugged in, but we have our own aberrant, weird Rorschach test that we're applying to American politics, which means we're not permanently in the pocket of either camp. But I think that there's another group of people that for them, they're living their lives and they're thinking about work and thinking about their kids. And they're not really thinking about politics. And so they're a lot more affected by how they would judge a used car salesman, which is like, does this person seem honest? Does this person seem like they're going to be the person who's going to sell me the right car? Are they going to swindle me? Can they get things done? Are they going to be a good boss? They're going with personality attributes to a great extent. And I think those are the kind of swing voters that will be swayed by the debate.
I think for folks who are political junkies, it's hard to understand. I mean, I keep running into people who say there can't be any undecided voters. They can't be, but there are. And I think people have a hard time comprehending that. And, you know, the interesting thing is if you talk to political consultants, I mean, I spent a bunch of time arguing with Mike Murphy over this idea, whether they're independents or really they're just closet Republicans or closet Democrats. If you talk to the folks at Arizona State and Tom Riley, who runs the only political science department in the country, which has a specific study of independent voters, he'll tell you there are a significant chunk. And if you look, you can see it for yourself. If you look at the vote totals in 2012, they went dramatically for Obama. Then they turned around and shifted to Trump. And then in 20, they shifted around and voted for Clinton. So I do think there's a group that is permanently disengaged with either of the major political parties. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Andrew, I want to talk to you about why I think your analysis is wrong on the debate, because I want to tell you the two issues that I think are trouble for Harris.
Great.
This podcast is brought to you by the American Property Owners Alliance. Our country recognizes home ownership as one of the best ways to build wealth and stable communities. But over the years, support for home ownership has dwindled, and our leaders have lost sight of its value. We're working to change that. The American Property Owners Alliance is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that holds our leaders accountable to safeguard homeowners and communities. Visit propertyownersalliance.org to learn more and find out how you can join our efforts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Well, welcome back, and we're just beginning our conversation with Andrew Heaton, who's a great political podcast host on a podcast called The Political Orphanage. He's done a lot of comedy work. He's written a whole bunch, and he and I think share a lot of sort of similar framing of how we think this election goes. So if
I'll even add to that, Scott. You were kind enough to come on my program, The Political Orphanage, and you think so similar to me that it kind of freaked me out. And at one point, I began postulating that you might be me from the future who'd come back to talk to me in the past. It was very unnerving.
Well, we can probably sell that as a pilot to CBS or somebody.
Yeah, I like that. Time-traveling pundits, yeah.
So there's sort of two framing things you have to do in elections. Well, there's actually three. I mean, if you and I are running against each other, I have to define you. Right. And then I have to define who I am. And then the third thing is you have to figure out
if anyone knows what's on tap. It's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief.
3, 2, 1. Ignition. Engine full power. And liftoff.
That's the sound of the launch of SpaceX Crew 9 mission as it raced into the sky above Cape Canaveral, Florida, on its way to the International Space Station. There are two empty seats, so it can bring back two long-delayed NASA astronauts. The death toll is up again for Hurricane Helene, this time to 55. Flooding worries continue in many areas around the nation in the aftermath of the storm. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
We've had 17 fatalities just in the state of Georgia alone.
The UN is calling for the violence in Lebanon to stop after the leader of Hezbollah is killed in an Israeli airstrike, Israel's military spokesman says.
Israel does not seek a wider escalation.
President Biden says the U.S. fully supports Israel's right to defend itself against Iran-backed groups. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickell said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
That's the thing that I think gets lost in the whole grand scheme of things, right? I mean, you know, that it's some special play that you call. No, it's called execution.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed two games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the mid-80s. Clear tonight, lows around 50. Sunshine, 79 for Sunday. For Sunday night, some fog and 52. Monday, sunshine and a high around 81. For Tuesday, sunshine and much cooler with highs in the low 60s.
Right now, it's 80.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
The green and gold tailgating.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. And
and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap.
So this is Scott Klug with a special countdown edition of Lost in the Middle. My guest is Andrew Heaton, great political observer on his podcast, The Political Orphanage, where my political orphans live, and also does lots of great work, including comedy and writing novels. So, Andrew, if I could, let's talk a little bit about election night. There you are with a bag of cheese popcorn and Diet Coke, watching the results roll in. So tell me what state, corner of the country that intrigues you?
Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the corner that intrigues me. I hail from Oklahoma, but I've got a very good idea of how Oklahoma's going to vote, which is probably Republican. Like in Oklahoma, every 4 years, it's really a debate between like, is the Republican going to win, or are like enough people going to write in Reagan's ghost that like the Republican gets like half of it? Like the Oklahoma's going to go Republican, right? It's the holster of the Bible Belt. So I find Pennsylvania very intriguing, partly because Pennsylvania's typically a bellwether for the entire country. I think only one election out of the last 10 has not gone to the winner of the national contest. And it also is such a linchpin. The math works out that it's virtually impossible for the Democrats to win if they don't get Pennsylvania. And it's very difficult for the Republicans. It's not impossible, but difficult for the Republicans to win if they don't take Pennsylvania. So it's a real keystone within the process. And I find that fascinating. That's the one that I'm looking at.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, Pennsylvania is such a large and diverse state that if you don't know much about it, it's pretty hard to get your arms around, right? So you've got Philadelphia, which is very Democratic, as is most of the East part, with the exception of some of the more affluent suburbs around Philadelphia. As we all know, however, the suburbs are now turning much more purple. And then you get Pittsburgh in the middle, which is sort of very working class. And the place that everybody really looks at, which is strange, is Erie, Pennsylvania. So we actually did a section of Erie, Pennsylvania in our podcast episode about the seven counties you should watch election night. And Erie's weird. I remember when I interviewed one of the people for the show, you know, you always are trying to do, you know, sort of a little bit of chit chat before you dive into things. And I said, so, hey, big Steelers or Eagles fan? And I thought the person on the other line was going to come through the phone and choke me on the spot because he said, do you know where we are on the map? We're 20 minutes from Cleveland and I'm a Browns fan. Every day Philadelphia loses is a good day. Every day the Steelers lose is a good day, as long as my Browns do well. So here's a little corner tucked up on one of the Great Lakes in the far northwestern corner and has this strange propensity to vote for the winning party at the White House, I think, 8 of the last 9 elections. So Pennsylvania is a good one to pick. And then any other place that interests you, or any other demographic trends that intrigue you?
Yeah, well, I'd say more broadly, the general demographic trends that interest me is that the kind of monolithic ethnic block that the Democrats have enjoyed for the last 20, 30 years is slowly dissipating. So it boggles my mind that Trump outperformed Mitt Romney with African Americans and with the Hispanic vote, but he did, and then he beat himself again in 2020. So the African-American vote still very much in the Democratic camp, I think by like 80%, 75%, 80%, 90%. It's high up there. The Hispanic vote is maybe 75-25, I think. But both of them have slowly started drifting over to the Republican side. And I see it as a part of a much broader realignment that we're living through right now. I think it's kind of like when the Republican Party and the Democratic Party coalesced into national party. Like if you go back to like 1960, the Democratic Party was this unholy alliance of like hippies out in Berkeley, but also the Jim Crow South. And the Republican Party was this unholy alliance of Rockefeller Republicans and moderates like George Romney and hardcore ideologues like Barry Goldwater. And that all kind of shifted around. And I think we're going through that now, where the Republican Party that used to be the party of Mr. Burns is becoming the dive bar party, and the Democratic Party that used to be the union party is becoming the party of the managerial and the college educated. And so there's this flip in terms of the economic order and in terms of the educational order. And I I think as that is happening, the Democrats are kind of taking for granted that they're going to always enjoy the Democratic bloc they have of non-white voters. And it's not big enough to alter stuff just yet, but I do see this drift happening, and I don't think the Democrats are fully aware of what might come down the pike in a few years.
Well, and black women are clearly the cornerstone of the Democratic coalition, but black men are drifting further. Young black men in particular are drifting towards Trump. And Hispanic voters, it's interesting, you know, there was a book written in 2000 or 2001 by Rudy Tejera, who's a demographer, who's a Democrat, said the coming Democratic majority. And his theory was, okay, as the country becomes less white, becomes more black, more Hispanic, that will add to the existing Democratic coalition and we'll have, you know, sort of this juggernaut that can't be challenged. Except what happens is I join your party. And then you go to the hell, I don't want to be in a party with Klug. And then you go to a different party. So there's this constant churn that goes on. And he now says that he was crazy because what he couldn't see coming is exactly what you described, was that Hispanics are becoming more and more Republican. And people say, why is that? Well, first of all, Hispanics are not monolithic, right? The Venezuelans and the Cubans in Miami are a hell of a lot different than the Puerto Ricans in New York and the city of Chicago. But if you look at demographically, Hispanics tend to be Catholic or evangelical. Their faith matters to them. Family, big families. And I think they find a lot of the Democratic talking points, you know, the sort of called wokeness checklist, which we could do, actually pushes them away from the Democrats. And I think it's the cultural shift that's really benefiting Republicans. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. The wokeness element that you see in the Democratic Party is overwhelmingly pushed by upper middle class white people who went to a nicer high school than you. That's the bulk of the people doing that. Like in my comedy experience, the people that I'm a fairly flaccid Garrison Keillor level comedian. I'm not very angry or bitey or anything like that. But in the rare instances where I offend people, it tends to be upper middle class white people offended on behalf of somebody else that wasn't offended.
And actually is laughing at what you just said, probably.
Yeah, he was probably laughing at what I said. And so the kind of wokeness thing to me, my theory remains, I think that wokeness, broadly, however we want to define it, is a kind of nascent religion that's percolating in the United States. And it's very much associated with the elite and Democratic circles. And it's not emblematic of the entire Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is much less politically correct than the top portion of it. You see this in a lot of the individual polls where affirmative action is very unpopular in the United States, including among black people. Like overall within the Democratic Party, like affirmative action and racial quotas remain predominantly negative. It's within this clique of upper middle class white voters within the Democratic coalition that are doing that. And so I can totally see that kind of alienating people that are not a part of it.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago doing some work for the State Department where they send former members of Congress to go do previews for, it was in Stockholm, for example, and you talk to university classes, you talk to editors, you try to explain how the Electoral College works, which is something I probably have to do in suburban Madison as well to explain it to people because they really don't get it. And my colleague, centrist Democrat from Ohio, I first got elected with years ago, suddenly started to talk about Latin women as Latinx. And it was like, what is that word you're using? I've never heard it in the past. And it's actually a term that Hispanics are offended by. And it came out of some university campus where they make stuff up like this all the time.
I've seen the same stuff. It's like some amount of Hispanic people use the term, but it's like less than 10%. And there's a larger percentage of people that are offended by it. And you get into this odd position where I, as a white person, am lecturing a brown person about the language they have because I have decided that my kind of re-microwave Puritanism determines that you can't have gendered language. And you start thinking about it, isn't it weird that I'm lecturing brown people on how to identify themselves? That seems like a bad call.
I'm with you. So how did you get from comedy to doing a political podcast?
Circuitously and largely through failure multiple times. So I was interested in comedy and politics back through college. So I was doing all the standard political stuff of paging for the state capitol and student government and things like that. And I was also writing a column for the newspaper that was very much inspired by Dave Barry, who remains a hero of mine. So I was fascinated by humor. But being from Oklahoma, I had, you know, everybody I knew was, you know, in farming, law, or prison. I didn't know any comedians, and I did not know that that was an option available to people, that you could get paid for it. So I was really fascinated by it, but never did it. I finally did stand up right before I graduated college and failed abysmally because I didn't know you had to write jokes in advance, which you and probably all of your listeners would have figured out immediately. I literally thought if you were funny, you just went on stage and jokes came into your brain. That's not how it works. And so I ended up not doing stand-up for a couple more years. But I wound up working as a staffer in D.C. for Tim Holden, your old friend. And I would do stand-up at night and work for Congress during the day. And
did sometimes you get confused which of them was funnier?
Yeah, that... They were both good sources of inspiration on a regular basis. I then came over to Edinburgh, where I am now. I got my master's degree over here, but I kept doing comedy at night. I was for a while, the resident comedian at Edinburgh's Saturnalia Cabaret. So I came up and told jokes in between a gal that took her clothes off and a guy that ate light bulbs. And I think that was probably the best fit I've ever had comedically. I really did well there. And came back to Washington, D.C., and was going to ensconce myself back in the political scene and work for Congress again and stuff. And it wasn't really clicking for me, and I ended up doing kind of odd jobs. And I finally went, if I'm just going to be doing weird odd jobs anyway, why don't I go do that comedy thing that I want to do deep down? And so I moved to New York to do stand-up comedy, and I wound up working in television. And at some point, they kind of merged. I was scraping by, and a television show approached me, and they went, "We're going to be starting a new television show. It's going to be with libertarian hosts. We heard you're funny, and you like Milton Friedman. Is that true?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm funny, and I like Milton Friedman a lot. And like, I'm one of like five people in the country that's funny and like Milton Friedman." So I ended up doing that, and it eventually kind of merged in my mind where I went, "Oh, I could combine these. I could be funny about politics." And the upshot is that I saw a market for it in that there's not a lot of funny people that aren't broadly a part of the Democratic coalition. And I'm an independent. I kind of lean libertarian. And so I thought, well, there's this. It's basically me and PJ are work. Like, we're it. So, like, there's a big market there. I didn't realize that everybody would hate me half the time because I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. No one had explained that bit to me, that being in the middle is not good. But I get by. I do okay.
So what attracts you to the libertarian philosophy? I know you're not a libertarian. I'm describe myself as being from the libertarian wing of the Republican Party. Small government, stay out of my life, stay out of my business, stay out of my bedroom, stay out of my church. Are we growing, or are we like some weird dinosaurs roaming the earth?
I hate to say it, but I think we're the dinosaurs roaming the earth. I mention that because while I'm here in Scotland, I routinely invoke Adam Smith and refer to him as our greatest president, and no one catches me on it. Very few people are aware of Adam Smith. And when I explain them, they're like, no, it's wrong. No, greed's bad. Get me the greed. Yeah, I think we're there. I think what appeals to me about libertarianism is the same thing that appeals to you about your wing of the party, which is a classical liberal philosophy. And I get there, using some wonky terms here, in a fairly utilitarian capacity. It's not that I hate government. I would like government if I thought it worked well. What I care about is people doing well, people being happy, there being a prosperous, free, safe country, all of those things. And so I tend to think more in terms of best practices. And so if you're going to take somebody's stuff without their permission, or you're going to force them to do something without their consent, I think the onus should be on you to explain why that's a really big problem necessary to abrogate somebody's liberty. And a second onus of explain why your solution is actually going to fix the problem. And if you can make that case to me, I'll join you and I'll support your government program. But I think in general, government tends to be fairly inefficient. And I like the idea of society being a kind of Jackson Pollock painting rather than a pyramid. I think a lot of people think of the government as the thing that sits on top of the pyramid and society's all underneath it. And I think of the government more like a spleen. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a spleen. I think it's important to have a spleen, but it's just a part. You know, there's also families and churches and businesses and things. It's a big, messy, chaotic thing, and the government's the spleen. And so that's how I kind of map it.
Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes to talk a little bit more about who we think's going to win and why and how.
This podcast is brought to you by the American Property Owners Alliance. Our country recognizes home ownership as one of the best ways to build wealth and stable communities. But over the years, support for home ownership has dwindled, and our leaders have lost sight of its value. We're working to change that. The American Property Owners Alliance is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that holds our leaders accountable to safeguard homeowners and communities. Visit propertyownersalliance.org to learn more and find out how you can join our efforts.
Hey, welcome back to the special edition of Lost in the Middle, the countdown as we get closer and closer to the election. And Andrew Heaton's joining me, who's a political podcast host of the Political Orphanage. And as I joke throughout the show, it's where my political orphans live, since a lot of us feel disengaged from both of the parties. I want to go back. We were just discussing a little bit about libertarianism in the sense that I think this is where both of us are. I mean, I'm very skeptical about the government enforcing morals, and I'm very skeptical about the government's ability to do lots of things they want to try to do. The one thing that Harris did in her opening sort of salvos in the campaigns that gave me the heebie-jeebies was the idea of national rent control, or the idea that we now set up a commission to fix prices in grocery stores.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Spotlight will focus on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance Tuesday night, October 1st. Listen here as the vice presidential candidates debate issues important to you.
Go to the polls as a parent. You should have more power.
A belief that one person can make a difference.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. Special coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. Then listen to the CBS Vice Presidential Debate live at 8, Tuesday, October 1st, here on your local civic media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
This is the Ultimax.
Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes.
3, 2, 1, ignition, engine full power, and liftoff of Crew 9. Go SpaceX, go Falcon, go NASA.
That's the launch of SpaceX's Crew 9 mission, which went off without a hitch within the last hour. It is headed for the International Space Station with two empty seats, so it can bring back two NASA astronauts after their return on Boeing's flawed Starliner spacecraft was delayed over technical worries. It won't return to Earth until February. So far, 55 people have died across several states, including Florida, the Carolinas, and Georgia, in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is hurting.
These storms are taking the soul out of me, and I know that's how people are feeling down here.
In Lawrence County, WMAZ reporter Megan Western is outside of a collapsed home where one person died.
The neighbors, like Kay Donaldson, started to check out the damage.
It's almost like right in this area, it was not just a hurricane, but a tornado went off too.
But the pile of trees isn't what struck neighbors the hardest. It's the life they lost buried under the pile.
He was so nice.
Meredith Mitchell says he was so kind, he often shared items from his garden, also destroyed by Helene.
Now to the Middle East, where the U.S. State Department is ordering some employees and their family members to leave Lebanon amid tension after the leader of Hezbollah is killed in an Israeli airstrike. That's Hassan Nasrallah attacking Israel 10 days ago. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, called on Muslims everywhere to confront Israel, which he described as the wicked regime. He said the future of the Middle East will be determined by Hezbollah and the forces of resistance.
Less than 40 days before the presidential election, the Democratic and Republican candidates are dealing with a gender gap.
The latest CBS News election poll shows Harris is winning over women by 7%, while men favor Trump by 8%. Each candidate is concentrating their issues to win with one sex over the other. But scholar Richard Reeves at the Brookings Institution says there's a risk in doubling down.
That requires them to ignore or even at worst pathologize the other side.
But will men be the winning formula when women historically vote more often?
Their turnout rates will not be high enough to make a huge difference.
That's reporter Brad Gibson. Kamala Harris speaking in San Francisco while Republican Donald Trump stumps in battleground Wisconsin. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking. What's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health. Because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution. That is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pack right, load. Words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution. That is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on